Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and my partner in crime is Kat. That's C-A-T, cutting a rug. Kat, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We're going to do two shout-outs today. One is Great Falls, Windsor, Newfoundland, Canada. Great Falls, Windsor is a town located in the central part of the island of Newfoundland province and has a population of like 13,000. It was the first established there in 1905 as a logging town. Our other shout-out is going to be Durham, North Carolina. Durham has got many nicknames such as the Bull City, City of Medicine, Tasty Town in the South, Startup Capital of the South. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol keeps this podcast moving forward. A lot of people these days are taking a step back, but not us. We keep filling our Yeti tumbler with ice, rum, splash of Coke, a little lime floating on top. Keep moving forward. We might not be keeping a straight line, but at least we're not taking a step back. Kat, what you sipping?
I've got a lovely Oaks Lily. When this comes out, be the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby. And the Friday before the Kentucky Derby is the Kentucky Oaks.
The females.
The females.
Phillies are running.
Phillies are running around Churchill.
All right. Sounds sweet like you, babe. All right.
Thanks, doll.
All right. Today we're going to talk about reviews. Do you value a review? Do you even check out reviews before you buy a product or visit a restaurant, go see a movie? Whatever it is, do you look to see what other people think before you make your decision? Here's a little history with Steve. Cue the music. The first online review started in 1999. And it was just product reviews on eBay. Is eBay still a thing? Is that still going?
eBay's still a thing.
All right. Now, the book reviews were the big thing way back in the day. The New York Times started reviewing books back in 1896. And all through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and on, the book reviewer could really make or break an author. And that's a pretty good point. Remember back in the day, hell, back in our day, everything was in print. Magazines, newspapers. So if the reviewer didn't like your work, it usually spelled trouble. Broadway shows where lots of people work hard, lots of money's on the line. Next day after opening night, everyone read the paper to see if the review was good or bad. Back in the day, when someone put out an album, how many stars did you get in Rolling Stone? New restaurant opens up. Food critic shows up. He or she will they like it, not like it, or pan it? It was a big deal back in the day. Today, to me, the review, it doesn't mean as much. There's reviews on everything. Amazon products, you can go on Yelp, TripAdvisor?
Right.
And rip a restaurant or hotel a new one. Kat has several reviews on TripAdvisor.
Yes, I do. I love to review, especially if you're like just coming into a town you've never really been to before. And, you know, there are other tourists out there trying to find just a good meal. It's your duty to try and review that restaurant.
Give it a fair assessment.
If it's a really good one, just make sure you let everybody know.
I mean, hell, there's reviews now for plumbers, electricians, dudes who come to your house to cut a tree down. You can find a review. They're everywhere for just about everything.
Has Raleigh gotten some good reviews for cutting down his trees?
Oh, yes. Check out Raleigh's Great Outdoor Tree Service. That's why I think it's kind of watered down. I mean, I myself don't take reviews so serious. I mean, look at movie reviewers. Everybody goes to Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Right.
To get their movie review.
But the one good thing about that is you've got the audience reviews, and then on one side, the expert reviews.
That's true. I will give them that. I will give them that.
Because there's plenty of movies that are like on the MTV Movie Award Show that aren't on the Oscars.
Yes, there's a wide gap there. I mean, there's been a few movies that I liked, and Rotten Tomatoes gave it a low score. And some movies I thought sucked, and they gave it a high score. So it's all subjective, right? I mean, some people like something, others don't. That's just life. Now, a couple years ago, I was looking for a job, sort of. I didn't know, but there are reviews for companies where people have worked or are currently working on Indeed, Glassdoor, other sites where companies post job openings. And there's reviews for the company on there. And it's hilarious. It is.
Well, I mean, it just gives them an idea what they're expecting when they get in the door.
I mean, there's people on there ripping their former employer. There was a lot of negative press on these sites from people who worked at Amazon. Not big fans of working there. The other day, just for shits and giggles, I pulled up reviews for Golden Corral, and it's like a chicken jank we got out here called Zaxby's. And now, the Golden Corral, I hate to pick on them. Not really. But those Golden Corral reviews, they were pretty golden. Okay. Review after review was kind of ripping the place apart. I haven't been to Golden Corral maybe once in my life, so it's not fair for me to say anything. But it was a little bit of entertainment. Now, the Zaxby's place is a fast food place we have out here. And it started out good, then it kind of went sour. One reviewer said, "I guess burnt toast is a new menu item," which is funny to me because I did receive black toast in my box one day. But, you know, as far as restaurant reviews go, I think they're like the least reliable, except for Kat. Kat right here to my right, she's spot on. If you weed through the reviews of a restaurant, you can spot the constant complainer, right? The ones that bitch about the service. They bitch that the food wasn't hot enough. There wasn't enough ice in my drink.
Well, I mean, there was one sports bar that just opened, what, last 6 months, you and I went to. And they were awful. I mean, you had like wings or something, and they didn't even bring the sauce for it.
Yeah, we had wings and burgers, and it sucked, and it was new, and everybody's all jacked up and whatever. But when you look at some of these restaurant reviews, the first few you look at, they always tell you how great it is, right? And that's why I don't trust it, because those reviews are coming from their relatives.
For some drunk guy at the bar.
Relatives of the owner, friends of the restaurant owner. I mean, but once you scroll down a little bit, then you find out what the restaurant's all about.
And sometimes I think you got to look at the person who's reviewing. Like when I was 18 years old and I was out with a friend, we would get coupons to the Sizzler. And we just
coupons?
Thought that it was golden. You know, we could go get a nice meal for some Sizzler coupons. That isn't the same as reviewing as I am 40 years later or so. I kind of have a palate and can
appreciate. Coupons for the Sizzler.
Yeah.
Whew, look those up. The coupons are gone and the sizzler is gone. Anyway, we just want to see where everybody stands on the review. You know, Kat and I, we check them out before we go, you know, buy a product or check out a restaurant or whatever. It can help, but ultimately, you just have to find out for yourself.
Sometimes it's just the photo. Like, if we there's a new restaurant in town, I always make sure that I take a nice photo of whatever the product is to let somebody people know what's
That does there. Enhance the review. Yeah. If there's a picture there, people will take notice. All right. We're going to roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. All right. This week, it is Louis Braille, born in 1809 from Capri, France.
Right.
Ever heard of the Braille system? Louis Braille changed the lives of the blind forever. And Louis, he was not born blind, but his dad had a leather shop, and they made horse tack. And he was in there working with his dad, very young age, and he had an awl. An awl is like a little puncture tool. And he had a hammer, and he was just putting some holes in like a leather strap, and the awl bounced off and popped him in the eye. And an infection spread to his other eye, and by age 5, Louis Braille was blind. But Louis, he was admitted to one of the first schools for the blind, like in the world, okay?
France's Royal Institute for Blind Youth.
Right, because of his, at a young age, they could tell he was smart and his diligence.
Right.
He just kept grinding. Just
kept trying.
At age 15, he developed the Braille system. The Braille system, it wasn't adopted into use until 1854, which was 2 years after he died. Just for a minute, close your eyes and pretend you'll never see anything again. It's kind of scary. I would lose it. But Louis Braille said, fuck that, and used his time and his brain and created a masterpiece. Louis Braille, he had an ear for music. He could play the cello, play the organ at churches all over France. Louis Braille, he'll never be forgotten. And Capri is home. I guess it was his parents' house, I guess.
Right.
It's listed as a historic building. There's a monument erected there in the town square. Stamps, coins. Hell, he's got an asteroid named after him.
He went out as an adult to be a professor there at the Institute and tried to spend the remainder of his life trying to spread the system.
Yeah. New variations of the Braille system keep popping up. There's a, they call it a Robo Braille. It's like an email system. There's Braille computer terminals. Almost 200 years after its invention, and the Braille system keeps evolving. And that makes Louis Braille one tough son of a bitch. All right, do we still have a television?
We still have a television. Okay. And this gal, the other week we did Kristen Wiig, and this gal, I couldn't wait for her to do something cool. One Miss Maya Rudolph. She was really great in Bridesmaids. She's married to the great filmmaker Paul Thomas Anderson, and also is a mother of 4 children.
Damn, she's had 4 kids?
Yes, Pearl, Lucille, Jack, and Minnie. Of course, the Minnie, of course, is from her mother, who was Minnie Riverton, the great singer. Anyway, in her venture there on Apple TV, it's called Loot. And it's about, after divorcing her husband of 20 years, a tech billionaire, she all of a sudden has $87 billion at her hands.
Oh, she got a settlement and left?
Settlement left. And so she also has like a charity. She's trying to help run and do great things in the world. Her character is childless, but she's there with all the people there at the charity. And she's trying to, you know, when she first got the money, she's hanging out with her best gay friend party and going to all the fashionable places around the world and just having it going on a bender. Then she kind of wakes up and realizes she can do some good in the world. And so far, it's a really good show. It just, the second season just dropped last week. And she's very funny. She's very good at making fun of herself in a way, also about people and money and what the, just because you have money doesn't mean you're going to always do great. You need to work for a way to give it all away. You know, kind of like, trying to think, Mrs. Astor did, was she was the last Astor there in New York. She gave most of her money away and she had fun doing it. So this is kind of in that mode of character. This is kind of like Bezos's wife ended up with all this money. And so far she's given a lot away to women's causes and LGBTQ causes. Anyway, it is very funny. You know, she's trying to find, start dating again, trying to find a life. And Maya's doing a great job on the show.
What's it called?
The show is called Loot. It's on Apple TV. A second season just dropped.
All right. All right, Kat has made another concoction that looks like concrete or cement.
It's not concrete.
Can we do a shot that's like looks like alcohol? What do
this
we got,
is
babe?
Alcohol.
What is it?
It is the butternut rum lifesaver.
Mm.
Remember those lifesavers when we were
oh,
kids?
I loved. It was butterscotch.
Well, it not really. It was butter rum.
You're right.
It was butter rum.
That
lifesaver.
Was like my favorite lifesaver.
Right. So.
All right.
We just did,
ingredients.
Ingredients for this is Bailey's Irish Cream, butterscotch schnapps, coconut rum, and pineapple juice.
Here you go, baby. Cheers. If this tastes like a butterscotch butter rum lifesaver, I'm going to lose it.
It does.
Oh, shit, it does. Oh, my God. Damn, good job, baby. That was good.
You're welcome.
All right. What's the name of it?
It is a butter rum lifesaver.
All right. Give it a try. That's a damn good shot. All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band, probably never heard of them, called Nirvana.
Jeez.
We haven't done Nirvana yet?
No, I gave you a whole
this
list.
This is like 3 years later? Okay.
Where are the Pixies also?
We already did the
we
Pixies.
We did not do the Pixies.
I bet we did. Nirvana formed in 1897 from Aberdeen, Washington. So Nirvana, they were like grinding it out in the smelly clubs in Seattle. And then Dave Grohl shows up from, he was in bands up the road in D.C., right?
Right.
Then we have Butch Vig comes in and bam, Nirvana. The next Beatles, right? All the losers on FM radio at the time, which were playing what, like hair metal?
Hair metal was losing it.
They're now exposed.
Their career was over like
for
that.
The losers that they were. I got makeup and big hair, but my songs suck. Nirvana, they flipped the script. Come on. The whole music industry got flipped on its ear, and it needed it. I mean, it was bad. Nirvana came out with, what was it, Nevermind in 1991, which was pretty much the only album that came out in the 90s that didn't suck. I bought in. But now, kind of looking back, they put out In Utero,
right?
Like 2 years later, and you could tell it was kind of all meant to crash and burn. You know, it's sort of like the right band at the right time.
Did that band really start all the grunge? I mean, was that the first? I mean, to me, that was the first one out the gate.
Yeah,
and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Kate, you know, there were A&R guys up there in the Northwest looking for who else is up here.
Well, there were great bands. I mean,
right.
Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. We don't need to go through it. You know who they were. I think it got kind of got a little overdid, but you know, Nirvana, I hate to compare them to Guns N' Roses, but it's kind of the same scenario, right? Where it right band, right time.
Right.
And it kind of
everything
took off.
Came together.
But, you know, Nirvana, it was three dudes who came together kind of by happenstance and just got in the room and jammed. That's what I like about it. Nirvana was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014. As well they should be. Check out Nirvana wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. The dog and the cat are not behaving.
Certainly not.
See y'all down the road.
See ya.